It's a very challenging sugya. The Gemaras are hard. The Lamdas is very hard. The sugya Bab Machteres really goes line, you know, side by side with the next sugya in Ayin Gimel, Rodif. Rodif, someone's chasing another person to kill. Someone's chasing someone to perform their rails. And Bab Machteres is also very similar. The Ganav is digging through, he's tunneling through the under the guy's house to eventually kill the Baal Bayis. A big question, which we're not going to deal with right now, is what is the relationship between Bab Machteres and Rodif? That's a very big question. You showed him Achronim all deal with. We're going to try to leave that question behind, independently, focus on this sugya of Bab Machteres alone. After understanding it, we can hopefully understand the sugya, analyze the sugya of Rodif, and then compare the two. So the sugya of Bab Machteres, we're not going to go so in-depth today. Guys haven't seen all the Marmor Kalmus, but let's just begin. A great place to begin, of course, is always the Psukim. You guys saw the Psukim first? Saw one of them. Okay, there are only two Psukim to see. So in the Parshas Mishpatim, just a list, Mishpatim, as the Parshas called, a list of halachas, dinim, nizikin, halachas. All halachas related to damage for the most part. In the beginning of Perek Chav Beis, it says, Im ba-machteres yimotze ha-ganav hu-kov ha-meis. If, while tunneling, going underneath, you find the ganav, you could kill him, he dies. Ein lo damim. He has no, there's no damim, he has no life. We'll see what the Rishonim argue what Ein Lo Damim means. Im Zarcha Hashemesh Alav Damim Lo. But if the sun shines upon him, which is a very strange pasuk, then he has Damim. Shalom Yishalim Im Ein Lo B'machnim Kabigit Baso. And then if you find him, he pays double, Kefil. So it's very interesting that the Psukim of Bab Machteres is found along with the Psukim of Gneva. Right, the very next pasuk, Im Himotze Simotze V'yodo HaGneva. If you find the Gneva, Mishor Ad Chamor Ad Tse HaChayim Shnayim Yishalim. You pay Kefil. So in this very parsha, you have Bab Machteres. He comes, he tunnels underneath your house, and you're allowed to kill him. And then the very next pasuk is, if you find the Gneva, you return it, he has to pay double. What's the connection of Bab Machteres and Gneva? Yes, it begins as a Gneva, but it's a very different type of Gneva. He's coming to kill you here. I wouldn't necessarily categorize it in the same psukim as Gneva. So we'll leave that in mind. That's going to be the bigger topic, the relationship Bab Machteres to Gneva. Just from me, the psukim, that jumps out at you. Now let's read the Mishnah and the Gemara to understand what is the heter? What allows the Baal Bayis to kill the Ganav in this case? So the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah has two points for us. We're going to analyze the first point over the next few days, and then we'll get into the second point. The Mishnah says, Habab Machteres Nidon Al Shem Sofo. The person who tunnels underneath the Baal Bayis' house, he gets killed. Why? Because of Sofo. Because in the end of the day, the Sofo, he's going to kill the Baal Bayis. That's the first halacha. The heter to kill the Ganav. Second halacha of the Mishnah is, Hayabab Machteres Vishova Esachavis. The guy, while he's tunneling through, he knocks over a jug and cracks it. It crashes on the floor. Im Yeshlo Damim Chayiv. If the guy has life, if the Bab Machteres, the Ganav has life, he does not have the death penalty. So then the Ganav is obligated to pay money. Im Lav, Im Ein Lo Damim, if he does not have life. If he has the death penalty, there's a heter to kill the Ganav. Then Pater, he does not have to pay. So that second halacha is also called a concept called Kimle B'Rabbi Minei. That when you're getting a Chiv Misa and a Chiv Mamun at the same time, you're Chayiv and Misa, you're Pater and Tashlumim. In other words, let's say on Shabbos, I shoot an arrow, and I kill somebody on Shabbos. At the same time, I rip his shirt. The very same moment, I have to pay him. Well, I have to got to get the death penalty for killing him, and also I got to pay money for the ripped shirt. The Gemara says in Ksubas, "Kum live the Rabbi Minei, you only pay one. You pay the greater, which is the greater, the Ritzicha. I killed him, and therefore I get killed."
Wasn't the case of
Hotsa? There are a ton of cases. There's another case about Hotsa when you steal something on Shabbos, and I pick it up on Shabbos at the same time. I stole your money. I also did Hotsa on Shabbos.
The arrow is that of killing him?
I thought so. But I'm pretty sure. So Kim Levi Rabinei, you pay only the greater punishment in this case, which is Misa, and you're Pata from Tashlumim. That's the second half of the Mishnah. That's going to be the, I told everybody, Ayin Beis, there are these 10 lines the Gemara were skipping. It's going to get into that concept of Kim Levi Rabinei. We're going to leave that for after doing the main sugya, the first halacha, of what's the heter to kill Nidon Al Shem Sofa. So Rashi tells us in the Mishnah, Habav Machteres Sha'omro Torah Yarig. The Torah tells us you're allowed to kill the Bab Machteres. Why? So Rashi says, Nidon al Shem Sofo. De holokato. He didn't kill anybody now. He's not being killed on the now. Nothing happened right now. Umaktia, why does he get killed? Mishum de sofo laharok bal habayis. In the end of the day, the bal habayis is going to, sorry, the ganav is going to kill the bal habayis. Kishayamod kineg de lahatzim emona. When the bal habayis stands up to protect his money. So this Rashi sounds very, you know, understandable. Sounds like there's no chiddush out here. In fact, there are two important lines in this, or two important, I guess, concepts from this Rashi. Rashi makes two very, very important assumptions. What are the two important assumptions Rashi makes? So what's the chiddush in that?
Well, that's a good point.
Let's read the Gemara first. Let's read the Gemara first, and then we'll see the Chiddush of Rashi. That's a good point. Right. So let's jump to the Gemara. We'll hold off on that Rashi for a second. The Gemara says, what's the nature, what's the basis of the heter? So Amar Rava, my time of the machteris. What's the heter to kill the bab machteris? Chazaka. There's a chazaka here. Ain adam ma'amid atzma amamona. A person does not stand and watch his money being taken. V'hai meimer amar. He's going to say to himself, "I azalin of ka'i lape." The ganav says to himself, "If he stands up, so I'm going to go. I'll get avlo shavik li v'ka'i lape katinale. If he gets in my face and tries to protect his money, I'm going to kill him." That's what the ganav says. That Torah amar im bala hargacha hashkem lahargo. If someone comes to kill you, you got to preempt him. Self-defense, and kill him. So the ganav's coming to kill, so you have to come kill him first. So that's what the Gemara says. This is Chazaka. Now if you look at Rashi, Rashi makes two very, very important points, which doesn't sound like a chiddush from the Gemara, but it is a chiddush when you see other Rishonim. Yeah, Mary, you had a point? Kill any ganav that comes to your house. No, I'm not sure. I don't think that. I'm not sure exactly what. Maybe it. We'll see. Tell me if it's the same thing when I say. Yeah, Evan.
The robber says to himself, "If this guy gets in my face and won't let me steal his things, then I'm going to kill him."
Mm-hmm.
So that would be pretty much every single robber out there. Because what person would just let you take their stuff? I mean, that's.
Robbers gonna go in with the mindset, I'm gonna try and steal it, but I'm not gonna go and I don't want it that bad that I'm gonna kill it.
It's possible, exactly. It's possible to say that also. So let.
Not everyone protects their money.
Well, everybody protects their money. The question: how do people protect their money? So you look at Rashi. Exactly. When I'm the Baal Bais, I'm protecting my money. How far am I willing to go? I don't want you taking my nice TV. Am I gonna just try to block it and hopefully you'll run away from me, or am I going to take a knife and try to kill you? So Rashi just says, from silence, he says, Kishiyamod kineg do lahatsu mamono. He's just there to protect his money. Rashi never tells us he's trying to kill the ganav, as other Rishonim do. That's point one. How far is he willing to protect his money? Rashi says he's just protecting his money, but not going to kill the ganav. We'll see the other Rishonim in a second will say, no, the Baal Bais is actually going to try to kill the ganav. And in turn, the guy is going to try to kill him.
I think that's circumstantial. I mean, like, everyone's different. How can they make a general statement about how people...
Well, it's a chazaka. Every chazaka, you could find cases and exceptions. But for the most part, a chazaka tells us this is... I'm not sure if a chazaka is necessarily a rove. We're not going to get into the nature of a chazaka. Okay. But a chazaka is a pretty... it's a blanket statement.
So you're saying the chazaka is that they don't try to kill you.
The chazaka.
Don't try to kill the robber.
The chazaka is to do something about what they do. Yeah, that's the argument.
The chazaka is the argument.
Yeah. Exactly. So for Rashi, the chazaka is I, the Baal Bais, will protect my money, and since the guy is going to come, he wants the money. He's going to kill me. I'm not trying to kill him. I'm just blocking my nice TV here. Exactly. So that's point one. The Baal Bais is not trying to kill. Point two is. How vadai is the ganav coming to kill? Is it vadai he's coming to kill, or maybe he's going to come to kill? from Rashi, it says, this soulful Laharog, in the end, he's going to kill. That's his game plan. His game plan is to come, steal, and kill if he needs to. It may not be so true. Again, we'll see the Rambam tomorrow, hopefully. We may argue on this point. But those are the two points. One is, from the Ganav's perspective, it's a little confusing. We'll put everything together. The Ganav's perspective, he's coming to vaday kill. From the Baal Bayis perspective, he's not coming to kill. He's just trying to protect his money. Okay. No, the Chazaka tells us that people will protect their money. But how far are you willing to protect your money?
Rashi's saying that he's going against the rule. This guy is going against the
Chazaka. No, I don't think he's the exception. No, I think he's saying this is the Chazaka, this is the rule. There may be exceptions where the Ganav is not trying to kill. That's what everyone's asking. There might be an exception that someone may not want to kill. But the Rove, let's say for now, the majority will think that a Ganav comes to kill. And that's what Rashi's explaining.
Well, he's only coming to kill. He's only coming to kill if he thinks that the Baal Bayis is going to come and do something about it.
Not for Rashi.
I'm saying Rashi's talking about this guy. He's coming to save his money, right? That means when the Chazaka says "Ein adam mamar as mamar," generally people don't stand on their money. That means people generally.
No, I think what it means is no. If the Chazaka means a person won't stand to watch his money be taken. That's what it means. Meaning a person won't just sit back. He's going to protect his money. That's what the Chazaka means. Yeah, I understand how you read it, but it means he's coming to protect his money. Yeah. It's tricky. You're right. Here, to clarify, let's look at Rashi Chazaka, just to clarify that point. Rashi says, Chazaka ain adam maimid al atzma al mamono. Shiroa sha'acher no lo v'shosa. He's not going to, this is all with the ain. He's not going to just stand there, watch, and be quiet while someone takes his money. Hilkach Rashi writes, Yodea ganav hazeh, Shabbat Bias omid al mamono. I, the ganav, know that Baal Bayis is going to step up to protect his money, latzilo, to protect the money, to save it. Umeimar amar haganav, the ganav is going to say to himself, Ia zilna lagave koi bape, vi koi katlinu. If I go, he's going to stand up in front of me, and if he stands up in front of me, I'm going to kill him. Vram lechatora ein lo domim. This ganav has no domim, he has no blood, no life to him. Since the Ganav is coming to kill, you, the Baal Bayis, could go protect yourself and kill him first. It's very confusing. I know, it's very circular. Rashi, he's not even the most confusing shita out there yet. Rashi is pretty simple, given the spectrum. Rashi says, again, the Ganav is coming to get the money. If you stand up to protect this money, I'm going to kill him. Vada, I'm going to kill him.
That's the thing, though. That's the only reason he's going to come and kill him is because he thinks the guy's going to stand up.
Okay, that's fine, and therefore.
So if the guy wasn't going to stand up, then it's possible that he wouldn't try to kill him.
Right, but the guy says, I don't know this guy. Most people, most Babatim, are going to stand up. Since that's how people are, so the guy's coming in with that intention. His mindset is, I'm going to kill if I need to. He's a guy now. He's a Rotseach now. He's a Rotif. He's chasing after to kill. That's all Shita's Rashi. You look in the Ran and the Yadarma, they say a little differently. The Ran has this very circular logic psychology going on here. The Ran writes, most Gavnarvim actually, from point zero, are not coming to kill. I just want money. I want to steal the cash. That's all I want. But I know that a Baal Bayis won't just stand there and watch me do that. So what's the Baal Bayis going to do? He's going to try to kill me. I'm just a ganav. I'm a simple guy stealing money. He's trying to kill me. I've got no weapons on me. But now the Baal Bayis is trying to kill me. So now the Baal Bayis is the rodef. The Baal Bayis is killing the ganav. But wait a second. I'm not going to let the Baal Bayis kill me. So in turn, I'm going to try to kill him first. I'm going to preempt him. Who is the first person to try to kill in this equation? The Baal Bayis is the first one to try to kill. At first, the ganav came in to steal. The Baal Bayis came to kill. Now the ganav switches. I'm going to kill him first. So the Ran's unclear what's going on here. Who should the Rodef be? The Rodef should really be the Baal Bayis. There's actually, it was funny, I just saw this morning, there's a Gemara Moed Katan. Someone was in Reish Lakish's garden, taking his food. So Reish Lakish says to him, whoever that person is a Menuda. So the Ganav says to him, no, you're a Menuda, you're going to be excommunicated. Reish Lakish, what are you talking about? You're stealing my fruit. You can't tell me I'm going to be excommunicated. I'm telling you. The Ganav says, you have no right to say I'm excommunicated. All I did was steal money. I didn't do anything really bad to deserve Chayrim. It went to Beis Din. Beis Din says, Reish Lakish, you're in Chayrim. You have no right to give this Ganav Chayrim. All he did was take your money. He didn't do anything so bad. He'll pay you money, but you can't put him in Chayrim. So Reish Lakish had to go to Chayrim. He didn't know where the guy was. He wanted, the only way to get freed was to find the guy who called him Chayrim, the Ganav. He didn't know who the Ganav was. He didn't see him. He had to go to the Nasi to get freed from the Chayrim. This is the story of Mordecai. Here too, the Ganav says, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm stealing some money. I'll pay him back. It's not a big deal. So now the Babai says, no, you come to my house. I'm going to kill you. So the Babai says, the Rodef. Ron says, no. Now the Ganav becomes the Rodef. It's back and forth. So why? If the Babai is the first one to try to kill the Ganav, so the Babai is the Rodef, not the Ganav. So what's the answer that Ron says? Why do we say the Ganav is the Rodef, even though really Babai is the first Rodef? Not the Amnas. It's the Hischil Meriva. Who started the fight? Who started everything? The whole process got started by the Ganav. He started the whole series of events started from the Ganav. The Ganav, you're right, when he came in initially, he wasn't coming to kill, but he got everything rolling. He came into the guy's house. Now, the actual stealing caused the Babais to become a Rodef now. Not Rodef, in turn, caused the Ganav to be a Rodef. So, it's very confusing, but in the end, who started it all? The Ganav. No, the Ganav started the whole... He wasn't the first Rodef. The Babais was the first Rodef. But the Ganav made him into a Rodef. So since the Ganav was his Chil B'Meriva, he started the fight. So therefore, the Ganav is classified as a Rodef.
So the Ganav becomes a Rodef only from when the Babais recognize that the Ganav is in the house?
No. Once he starts the tunneling, he becomes a Rodef. But why is he... the logic, it's a series of events in the logic. So he's in agreement with Rashi that he's a Rodef also, that the Ganav is coming to kill, but it's only coming to kill because of the chain of events. Now, the Adar Mot, yeah?
No, I'm just thinking, but in any case with the murder, I'm saying most murder cases aren't stunned on killing you because they need to kill you. It's because you did something to me that I'm upset about, whether it's whatever the case is going to be.
Okay.
So you're going to tell me that it's your fault because... Not you, I'm sorry. it's a person's fault because that person stole money. It could be also stealing money or whatever the case is, and I kill you because I got upset at you, and it's your fault because you started it.
No, this is different because this case the Rodef started the fight with you.
No,
so you're not at fault. You're protecting yourself. It's the Rodef now who's coming to kill. Also, is the one at fault. I mean, you're talking about two people only. You stole from him, so he killed you. You're stealing doesn't, give him the right to kill you. But here's a case.
Here, since I think you were going to kill me, I'm going to kill you. That makes him the murderer.
Say it again. That.
Because let's say I'm the burglar. I think that you're going to kill me.
So now you kill him.
Therefore, I'm
you want
to. I want to kill you. Therefore, right. That makes me the first.
Exactly. So you're considered a Rodef now, and now he has the allowance to kill you.
So then it's
very back and forth. The Rashi just
said, go as far as that.
Yeah, right. Rashi. Yeah,
Wait, so say it again. What?
So what is his
right. So that means the Ganav started the whole fight because he wanted to rob.
But if he's a Rodef to begin with, then
no, he's not. In the beginning, he's not a Rodef. From the logic, he just wants to rob.
Right. Okay, technically. Right.
But then, since the robbing will cause the Babais to be a Rodef. And now the Ganav says, I don't want to be killed, so I'm going to kill the Babai's back. That, in turn, makes the Ganav into a Rodef now. It's very confusing.
No, I understand that, but I just didn't understand why it was this one. Okay, but...
I just want to get this clear. The difference between Rashi and the Ron is that Rashi says that the Balabais is not... that the burglar is the Rodef at the beginning, and he starts off the Rodef, but the Balabais never becomes a Rodef.
Exactly.
And the Ron says that the Balabais is first a Rodef, and that's what turns the burglar into a Rodef.
Exactly, 100%.
There's a circular logic problem.
Yeah.
I was trying to fit Ron into Rashi. I thought Rashi had the circular logic problem.
Right. Yeah, Rashi's pretty simple now. In light of this, Rashi's pretty simple. Rashi's the Ganav comes in, I know the Balabais can protect his money, I'm going to go ahead and kill him anyways. It's very direct according to Rashi.
Who is Hiskel, the Meriva,
makes it that he was the roadie and the only roadie from the outset? So then how to work? So fine, he's Machal the Mariva. So that only makes him Chayiv Misa, but in a Chanami the Baalites would also be Rodev?
No, I think there could only be one Rodev. I don't think you consider them both to be Rodev.
So can you play out the timeline, I guess?
Once we say...
Why can't they both be at the same time? They're going after each other.
That's an interesting Shaila.
They say
you have a fight. They both have swords with them. Maybe you can. Maybe you're right. Maybe they can be. But in this case, if Jake wants to know, okay, so the Baal Bias was the first Rodev. He makes the Ganav into a second Rodev. So why can't they both be Rodev? Maybe they're both Rodevs. So Ron says, no. I hear that's a good point. In your case, Evan, they came both wanting to kill each other. This case, the only reason why the Baal Bias is Rodev is because he wants to protect his money. It's because something caused him to be Rodev. It wasn't they were trying to come to kill. He's protecting. But it's not because he's
meaning
just because he tunnels doesn't give me the right, the Baal Bias, to kill him. But because that's the way people are, then that makes the Ganav into a Rodev now. And now once he's the Rodev, because he started the whole chain of events, he's the only Rodev, that allows me to kill him now. It's very strange. I agree. It's hard to swallow, but we'll have to accept this run as is. And Jake's question again, the question, who's the Rodev? The Baal Bias should be the Rodev. No, really the Ganav's the Rodev because he started the whole event.
So Baal Bias never becomes a Rodev.
Lamaisa, I don't think he becomes a Rodev. I don't think so.
I don't understand that, though. Yeah. I thought the Ron says that he does become a Rodev.
No, in that stage of the logic, at one point the Baal Bias is a Rodev.
Right.
That Rodev now, stage three, turns into the Ganav being a Rodev.
Yeah.
Ah, so the Baal Bias is the first Rodev. He should be killed, not the Ganav. The fourth stage is that, no. Since the Ganav started the whole process, we call the Ganav a Rodev, not the Baal Bias a Rodev.
Oh, that's how the run ends up?
Yeah.
So it ends up like Rashi a little bit.
Well, it's like Rashi that the Ghana is the Rodev, but how he got there is very different.
Right.
The Baal Bias is protecting his money, according to Rashi. In the run, the Baal Bias is coming to kill the Ghana. Okay. Now, the Yadarma is very similar to the run as well, but gives a different explanation why we choose the Ghana as being Rodev and not the Baal Bias as the Rodev. Anybody see this?
Yadarma.
Do you remember what he said? Why we view the Ganav as a Rodev and not the Baal Bias?
We still have a question, and then he gave like an attempted answer, but then he rejected it.
So I think he said because the Maisa,
the Chazaka is not meant for Ganeva, but it's meant for.
No, not that line.
Didn't do a Maisa?
Yes, exactly. He didn't do a Maisa. What's the difference? The Baal Bias did not do a Maisa. He didn't do a thing. He stood there. This whole discussion is in the mind of the Ganav right now. It's all in the mind of the Ganav. So you can't call a Baal Bias a Rodev for not doing anything. A Rodev is someone who chases after a different person with a knife. Or chases after someone to do a rile. So that's a Rodev. The Baal Bias is just sitting here, arms crossed. Did nothing. He's going to be a Rodev. Therefore, the Yadarma writes, who's the Rodev? The Ganav. The guy who tunneled. He did the Maisa.
What's the significance of labeling someone a Rodev or not?
So when someone's a Rodev, that's why I was thinking about doing Ayin Gimel first. Know what a Rodev is. But a Rodev is someone, anybody could kill the Rodev. If I see Reuven chasing Shimon with a sword or a knife, I could kill Reuven. But so that's one of the basic halachas of a Rodev. But, so this is all Rashi and versus the Ran and the Yadarma. Now I think this another issue that could connect. This is very detailed points. We'll get to more lumdus tomorrow. But at least within Rashi versus the Ran Yadarma, we get to another point as well. Anybody see the Mefarshim on the Torah? I think some of you guys saw the definition of what Ein Lo Dama means. What does Ein Lo Dama mean? No blood. To who? Who's it referring to? The Ganav. According to who? says that. So Rashi, what does ain lo damim mean? The pasuk says ain lo damim. If he has no blood, you're allowed to kill him. Yeah, but so that's what Rashi defines ain lo damim on the Gemara. Look at Rashi, my taima, the first Rashi on the Gemara. My taima de machteres. She'omra Torah ain lo damim. What does the Torah mean when he has no damim? Kilomar, in other words, harei hu lechok kimi she'ain lo damim v'neshama u'mutil argo. The ganav is viewed as having no blood, having no life, and one's allowed to kill such a person. The ganav, like you said, has no blood.
Not a rodef.
We haven't spoken about it. We're putting rodef back burner for now. But Bob Machteres, at least, has no blood. And you could kill him. He's like, as if he's dead already.
So Rashi holds that any ganav, you kill him right away. He argues like on the
Rashi. Not any ganav. Oh, particularly, at least in this case, particularly a Bob Machteres, somebody who tunnels underneath. The Gemara and Ayin, Bezim and Bez will tell us other instances, other types of ganavim, but for now, simply a Baba Machteres. Rashi tells us, Ein lo damim means he has no blood, he has no life source. He's viewed as a dead person, and you could kill such a person. Someone that's dead, you could kill him a second time. You haven't done anything. Rashi says the same thing al-Torah. However, the Ibn Ezra argues. Ibn Ezra says, Ein lo damim does not refer to the ganav as having no blood. It refers to the Baal HaBayis, Ein lo damim, meaning when the Baal HaBayis kills the ganav, he has no responsibility to pay back Tashlumei Rotzeach, he says.
He has no blood on his hands.
Yes, great way to say it. No blood on his hands, exactly. He hasn't done it. He's Pater from Ritzicha. Normally, someone who kills, he gets Saif, he gets sword, he gets his head cut off. This guy, the Baal HaBayis, who kills the Bab Machteres, does not get a Chiv Ritzicha. He's Pater, no blood on his hands. The implication is, though, that the ganav himself still has damim. He's still considered a live person. He's a regular person.
Whether you're fine or not.
Exactly. So I'll read you the lashon of the Ibn Ezra, so it becomes clear.
There's no difference on the end.
Conceptually, there's a difference.
It might say if someone's a rodef or not.
We'll try to ignore that question for now. You're right. It's going to get very confusing as we keep asking that question, because we don't know what rodef is just yet, but you're right. It is a very important question. So the Ibn Ezra says as follows. His definition is, Ein al horgo shvichas domim. On the murderer, he has not spilled blood. He has no blood in his hands, like Evan said. Okay. So let's try to process this for a second. The machlokas Ibn Ezra Rashi is the ganav. Does the ganav have any domim tim or not? Rashi says the ganav is viewed as a dead person. And according to the Ibn Ezra, he's not viewed as a dead person. So how would you want to connect this to the previous machlokas we had? Rashi on one hand versus the Adar Ma and Ran on the other hand. Does this connect? Maybe you don't think it connects at all.
Say that again? Sorry.
This machlokas, Rashi Ibn Ezra, they're arguing about whether or not the ganav has damim or not. Rashi says he's viewed as a dead person. And Ibn Ezra says, no, he's a live person. But if you kill him, you're Potter. But he's still viewed as a live person. Yesh lo damim.
When Rashi's saying he's considered a dead person, that means you can kill him, which means you're not going to have blood in your hands. It's not the same thing.
Well, conceptually, they're arguing whether or not we view the ganav as having as being a live person. Is there a nafka mina? Is there a halachic difference?
I don't think so. I'm
so right now, you're right. Right now, there's not. I'm just trying to set up conceptually what are they arguing about? Is it just a technical thing of how they interpret the word damim?
Person or killing an already deceased person?
Exactly. So I think it connects. Their machlokas Rashi and Ibn Ezra will connect to what we said before about the machlokas Rashi versus the Ran Yad Rama. How do we understand the heter to kill them? I'll say as follows. It's very confusing. I'll say it. What?
Go on. Yeah.
So right here. So the Ran Yadar Ma hold that why is the ganav considered a rodef? Only because the Baal HaBayis was trying to kill me first. The ganav is not a pure rodef. He's not coming to kill. He's only kind of protect himself. Now the Torah tells us we view him as a rodef, but he's not really coming to kill. He's coming to steal. But you're allowed to kill him because of the whole circular logic. If that's the case, he's only a rodef by happenstance, I guess. So he really has damim. He really has life to him. He's not a real classic rodef in this case. And therefore the Ibn Ezra says, he's a live person. Rashi, however, told us that no, he's coming to kill. If the Bombayis comes to protect his money, he's coming to kill. It's not a battle, it's not a back and forth fight here. The Ganav, according to Rashi, is a pure Rotzeach, he's a pure Rodev, he's coming to steal and kill. That's his intention. And if that's the case, this Rotzeach, this Ganav, is viewed as Ein Lo Dovim, he has no life source. But again, the Ran Yadarmah says, no, he's not really a Rodev, he's only a Rodev because of Baal Bayis trying to kill him first. I'm not really a classic Rodev. If I'm not a classic Rodev, Yesh Lo Dovim, he has life to him, he has blood. So I think they do very much connect. You guys with me on that?
So Yesh Lo Dovim can still kill him then, going with the Ibn Ezra, I guess.
You're still a heter to kill him, you're right.
Even if Yesh Lo Dovim, you can still kill him.
Exactly. Now, I'll show you a diak in the Rashbam. Rashbam, I think it's very true, this point. Yeah.
I would think that it should be the opposite. Like, I think you're troubled by the fact that, like, you want to be Rashi, you want Rashi Lashi Tasso, but I don't think it comes out that way.
No, why not?
Rashi, at the end of the day, and the Gemara, it doesn't say that the Ganav is going to try and kill... Oh, I'm sorry. No, scratch.
Okay, scratch.
I think it works in Rashi because he doesn't use a whole circular...
Exactly, Gemara. Yeah. I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect. And I'll just finish with one last Rashbam, which I think is really a great diak in this point, driving this connection home. Rashbam says, along with Ibn Ezra, he says, Ein lo dama means you're pata for killing him. But the Ganav really has money. The Ganav really has, sorry, not money, has dumim to him, has life to him. He's really alive. So Rashbam says this line, which, pay attention to this line, it's going to be very important for tomorrow's shiur also. Rashbam says, O laharog, O leharog, ba. He comes to kill or be killed. He's coming for a fight. Lefikach ein lo dumim tashlumi dumim. Therefore, he has no dom in terms of no blood in his hands. Ella pater b'harogo. He's pater for killing. What does a lashon laharogo leharog sound like? What is it? Who's shita do?
It's no, but he's not meaning. It's as if. Oh, I guess you could match it up differently. But like, doesn't that automatic? Is a dead man regardless?
No, but what's it? What's the Ganav thinking? He's saying, I'm coming to kill or be killed. I'm coming for a fight here. For Rashi, there's no fight. If you're gonna fight, you're gonna protect your money. But the Baal Bayis is never coming to kill. For Rashi, the Baal Bayis is just protecting the money. Only the Ganav is coming to kill. It's a one-way fight. According to the Ran and the Yadarmah, it's a battle going on here. The Baal Bayis is protecting his money. He's coming to kill the Ganav. And in turn, the Ganav is coming to kill the Baal Bayis. It's what I would call Olarog Oleharog. I'm coming to kill or be killed. That's what the Shitas Ran Yadarmah writes. That's what Rashbam says. And therefore, the Rashbam writes, what's the definition, the interpretation of Ein Lo Damim? Your pater for killing, but you still have blood. I say you're still a live person. I mean, everything matches, lines up very nicely. Yeah, everyone with me on that point? And therefore, the Rashbam, Yadarmah, and Ran are one camp, and Rashi is in the other camp. That's what we set up right now. And I think there's one other nafkamina between these two shitas we'll say tomorrow. That's not even the biggest part. All this was very, nuanced detail within the sugya of Bab Machteres. Tomorrow we'll do this one more nafkamina between the two, and then we're going to go into the real juicy stuff of this sugya. Yeah.
That there is Dhamma, there is blood,
mm-hmm.
if it's a case where he's not permitted to kill him.
Right.
Baal Bayis is not permitted to kill him.
Right.
We got it. Mm-hmm. Like a ben is the father who brought his son.
Right.
So the ben cannot kill his father. So it seems to be saying that it's like contradicting
Thank you.
Previous.
Go ahead. Very exciting.
So it seems to be saying like there is a mindset of the Baal Bayis to kill him, and not just to save his money.
No, this is...
Thank you very much.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, this is talking about, this whole din is talking about when can the Baal Bayis kill and when can he not kill. That's a push-up shot. When's he allowed to kill?
Yeah.
So, he's not allowed to kill when I know the Ganav is not coming to kill me. If my father is stealing from me, I know my father is not going to try to kill me, so therefore I cannot kill him as a Baba Machteris. But it's not the same circular logic as the Ran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us that actually flows very well.
Yes, very nicely. Very nicely. I was very nervous because it is very confusing, all this circular logic, but hopefully the guys got it.
Rashi on Chumash makes a point that that he's a... I don't know if he says a mito or new. He says he's a rodev meikara.
The rodev meikara. The rodev meikara. Who says it, Rashi?
I think Rashi on Chumash.
Okay, fine.
If I remember correctly. So, would you also say that maybe another Nachmanitian, Rashi and, you know, Ibn Ezra and whatever, that whole group, would be when the guy gets a shame, whatever he is, whether it's Miikara or only when, I guess when they meet, like, face to face?
I'm not sure if I saw anybody who expressed such a difference.
No.
When he becomes Rodef. I think it's interesting... point. If you could find anybody, let me know. This is intriguing.
I think because Rashi just makes the point of like Miikara.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure if that's like
argued upon it.
Right. If everyone argues on it.
Yeah, I hear.
Okay. Are we gonna need
Shvatim anymore?
Shoftim, I'm sorry.
Not for a while. Not for a while.
You wanna go through the entire 8th parak by Pesach?
And we'll see.
Is that like the goal?
I haven't thought about it yet because I'm so bogged down in some of these sugyas.
Really?
Yeah, but...
they're really difficult.
Okay. Get some lunch. Did I stop it? I didn't even stop it. Whoops.